95.7 Ben FM presents Her Story with Kathy Romano.
Good morning and welcome to Her Story. I'm your host, Kathy Romano. Victoria Reeder is the cellar master and vineyard manager at Almathea Cellars in Atco, New Jersey. When she entered the industry, Victoria aspired to create a place for women involved in New Jersey wine country to come together and form an inclusive, dedicated, supported, and educated community. She established Women in Wine to create a safe space to exchange ideas, network, collaborate, and promote education by teaching the women in wine about different aspects of the industry. Victoria is joining me today to share her story. Hi, Victoria.
Hi, Kathy.
Thanks so much for coming on with me today.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me.
So we met a few weeks ago at Almathea Winery. I had no idea that that little gem was even there.
I know, right? It's a perfect little spot in New Jersey. Wonderful. You think you're in France or Italy, right?
Well, and you know what? Sometimes I feel like local wineries, people sometimes look down upon them or think the wine isn't as good because it's not made in Italy or California or whatever. But the wine was, when we were there, we really enjoyed it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. That's a huge misconception about New Jersey wines, that they're all sweet and sugar water, but they're not. We have really good dry wines. And like you just said, we have really good wines comparable to France and Italy and California as well.
So tell me a little bit about the winery.
Almathea started, I think they opened back in the 80s. Lou Caracciola, he was a food scientist and kind of grew up learning wine from his grandfather. That's how Almathea started. His grandfather started making wine and he was learning from him. And Lou saw the potential of New Jersey and the wine industry, you know, a long time ago before anybody else really did. So it's really cool to work under him and learn that side of things and the history of New Jersey wine.
What are your responsibilities at the winery?
Easier question is, what aren't they? So I primarily work in the winery with the winemaking. I am also managing the vineyard, and we have 6 acres right now, but we might look to expand that. I help out with the sales. I'm in the tasting room, a little bit of everything, a little bit of the business side as well, which is really cool. I like to kind of have my hand in all aspects of the business.
So I found it interesting in reading your biography that you wanted to be a wildlife biologist.
Yeah, sea turtles specifically.
So how did that lead you to wine?
Wildlife biologists are a lot of seasonal jobs. Either you do a lot of seasonal jobs and you meet somebody that kind of gives you a shot, or you get lucky with a position, or you have to get your master's degree. And none of those things lined up for me. I was in between seasonal jobs, and I had actually worked at Auburn Road Vineyards as a teenager. And so I went back in between those jobs and talked to Scott and Jules and said, hey, are you guys looking for any help? And they kind of put me in the vineyard, and I fell in love. So it was entirely by accident.
Talk a little bit about the winemaking process. That always intrigues me, exactly what goes into making wine.
Yeah, it all starts from the vineyard, obviously, where the grapes come from. And if you can fix a lot of problems in the vineyard, you can do a lot in the wine. So harvest is the big time of year. That's when we collect all the grapes. We usually start with whites, depending on the variety, and then later in the season, we harvest the reds, and then process for the whites is a little different for the reds, because whites, we don't really want the same color. So with reds, you get color from leaving the juice on the skins, and whites, you don't want that. So you immediately press the white, and that's when you get the liquid, and you start fermenting it. So with the reds, like I said, you leave it on the skins for about 2 weeks, and that's how it ferments. And then you'll pump it off the skins. That's when you'll start to clarify it and really let it sit and do its thing for a little bit. And we check and monitor it, make sure everything smells good. Nothing bad is growing in it, like no bacteria or anything. And then it just kind of starts the aging process. So we decide whether we want to oak it. And a lot of stuff is oaked, but not oaking things is getting popular now. So stainless steel aged things are getting really popular. So either we'll oak it or we won't. And then we age it for a few months to a couple years, depending on what it is. That's the short and dirty version of it.
Where are your grapes grown?
Our grapes are grown around the vineyard. As you saw, unfortunately, it was really rainy the day you were there. We would have shown you around, but right on the property is where our grapes are grown. But we also get grapes from all over the state and also out of the state. But we try to get as much in New Jersey as possible.
So what happens to them in the winter? I mean, you're not growing them now.
No, they go dormant. After we collect all the grapes, they kind of go to sleep. Another big part of the vine growth stage is dormant pruning. So from January to March, vineyards will start dormant pruning, which is cutting all of the old growth off of the vines so new growth can come in. From like November to March, they're dormant. They're not doing much of anything.
And so everything that you talked about, the whole winemaking process, happens in Atco, New Jersey, at your winery.
Correct.
In 2019, you were involved in two harvests in the same year. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. I was at Hawk Haven Winery. I was down in Cape May for a little while. And so I was participating in that harvest. I think I was considered a cellar hand. So I helped with cutting the grapes and then also the fermentation processes and getting things into barrel and getting things into tanks. But I was also helping out at the very beginnings of Stokeland Winery. So we were having our first harvest and it was just me and the winemaker there. And we were making our wine at a different winery because we didn't have a license at that time. So we had our first harvest, just the two of us for Stokeland Winery, and it was a 2019 rosé that we harvested that year.
And so is that your busy time of year?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we don't really have much time off because either we're cutting the grapes or we're doing berry tests to figure out when we want to cut the grapes off. We're doing fermentations. Everything's coming in at different times. And if you have grapes coming in from other vineyards, that's also making you really busy. So pretty much from the end of August to November, the winery teams and vineyard teams are really, really crazy busy.
What would be a catastrophic event for you? Or something that happens that maybe we don't know about on the consumer side?
So I can give you one specific to the winery and one specific to the vineyard. One specific to the vineyard that actually is happening more often due to climate change is late frost. So that will be frost in April and May. And that will really, really damage the buds and that will damage the crops for that year. Some wineries had 90% damage where those vines couldn't produce for that year. That's something not many people know about. That's a really big dampening. We have expectations of what we're going to get from our vineyard each year. And if we have that big of an event that damages that much, we kind of have to scramble on the back end to find replacement grapes for that. We have expectations and our customers have expectations of what we're going to give out. So that really affects the whole year of where we're going to get those grapes from. On the winery side, things that could happen are spoilage, if there's too much oxygen contact to the wine, if people leave the wine in the oak too long, like if they leave it in the barrels for too long and it's too oaky, and some people don't really like that oaky flavor, you know? So a lot of it's about monitoring and tasting and smelling things so that it doesn't go bad and it's not oxidized. You're not going to ruin the wine.
Once you open a bottle of wine, how long is it good for, or how long does it last, both a red and a white?
I would say anywhere from a couple days to a week. If you keep it in the refrigerator, as soon as you open it, it could last longer, obviously. And it's really a matter of taste. If you taste it a week and a half later and it still tastes good, then it's okay. Like, there's no exact timing of when it goes bad. But I would say usually within a week or so, you're going to want to probably drink it.
Tell me about Women in Wine.
Women in Wine was created as a group to be a safe space and welcoming and open and judgment-free to women in the wine industry. I've been in the industry for about 5 years now, and I've been to vineyard meetings and winery meetings and conferences, you know, you name it, and I'll be one of very few women in any of those settings. I'll usually be the youngest It's a lot of older white men, and it feels very exclusive of an industry. I wanted to fight that because it's not that exclusive. Like, everybody should have access to be able to drink wine and should be able to have an opinion on it and be able to talk about it and enjoy it. That's a little bit of what I wanted out of this, is to give space to women and minorities as well, that isn't normally the look of what is in the wine industry. So I'm trying to break through that and make it accessible and make anybody who wants to be a part of it be able to, because it's a really fun industry and it's really interesting. And I think if people want to learn about it, they should be able to. It's, like I said, it's really cool.
And is this just for women who are in the wine industry, or is this for the public too?
This is just for women in the industry right now. Owners, winemakers, vineyard managers, tasting room managers, event planners, journalists, consultants, a lot of different avenues in this industry. So anybody really in the industry right now, yes.
And so if somebody is in the industry and they want to get more information or they want to join, how do they do that?
So they can either contact me through Instagram or through the New Jersey Grape Growers Association, or they email me as well at womenwinenj@gmail.com.
Let's talk about specific wines. What are some of your favorites at Amalthea Wines?
Some of my favorites at Amalthea are, I really, really like the Dry Reds. Clone 2 is one of my favorites. We have a Merlot Reserve that actually won the Governor's Cup, so it's a little bit more expensive, but it's one of the best wines I've actually had. I was really impressed with it. I really like our Rosé, the Lita, and I'm also really, really into the Vidal Blanc, the blue bottle. It's like a Riesling-style wine, so it's sweeter. It's Vidal Blanc instead of Riesling, and that's a really nice one. I think you tried that one when you were here.
I think I tried all of them when I was there.
Yeah. Oh, yes, you did. You got to try the Merlot, too.
I liked the red that was aged in the bourbon barrel. What was that?
Yeah, that was Mourvèdre. That's a really popular one, too.
All of them were great. Like I said in the beginning of the interview, I couldn't believe how good the wines were, and we were sitting in New Jersey.
Yep, right? In such a beautiful setting, too.
So we're now officially in the holiday season. What wines are good for this time of year? Anything specific?
Winter and cozy season, I always recommend heavier reds and drier reds. But, I mean, I always recommend whatever people like whenever they want to drink it. You know, if you like rosé in December, drink rosé in December. But what I tend to go for are drier, heavier reds. I tend to go for Malbec. I'm a really big blend person, so like Bordeaux blends are what I tend to lean towards in the winter months.
Victoria, thank you so much for joining me today and sharing your story.
Thank you so much, Kathy.
To find out more information about visiting the winery or to shop their wines, you can go to AmaltheaCellars.com and then follow women_wine_New Jersey on Instagram, as well as New Jersey Wine. If you missed any part of today's interview, it will be available tomorrow morning on our website, 957benfm.com. Thanks so much for joining me today. I'm Kathy Romano. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
This has been Her Story with Kathy Romano. Her Story is produced by WBEN-FM in Philadelphia and airs weekly or on demand on your mobile device. Listen or subscribe at 957benfm.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.